The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Moon Cursor. The Moon Cursor name pays tribute to the gold smuggling history of Osoyoos. The winery's focus has always been making premium wines from old world grape varieties like Tanat, Dolcetto, and Torrija Nacional. And for all of that hard work and dedication, Moon Cursor was recognized as the number one best performing small winery at the 2019 Wine Align National Wine Awards of Canada. Not only do they have a great wine club, but also think about giving a wine club membership as a great gift. You can find all of the details at mooncursor.com. And welcome to Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. The details for the show at mulliganstew.ca. And frankly, we've been doing this show for 14 years. I don't know that we go all the way back to the first year, but the archive at Tasting Room Radio is impressive. And if you'd like to find out about a winery that you've heard about or tasted or visited, just go to mulliganstew.ca, look up Tasting Room Radio, and hit the search button. I'm pleased to present three of the most compelling stories and people in the Okanagan Valley. Crystal Lee McWaters, the general manager of Time Winery and Kitchen, daughter of Harry McWaters, literally one of the founders of the Okanagan Valley and Canadian wine. And she carries on in that tradition, very passionate, very committed, and we're going to taste some of her new releases. Then, the godmother of Oka, of BC Wines, Christine Coletta, Okanagan Crush Pad, specifically her label called Narrative. She has new releases. We'll talk to her as well. Always interesting to talk to Christine Coletta. And we finish off with, flat out, the geekiest wine interview in Canadian wine, Jay Drysdale, the co-founder of Bella on the Naramata Bench. You can't just taste Jay Drysdale's bubble and then turn around and talk to him. You have to invest something of yourself, because he intends to talk about the vineyards, the location that they were in, and how he dealt with that fruit when he got to the crush pad. He is totally into Gamay and totally into giving you the finest wine you've ever tasted. So, from Time Winery, Crystal Lee McWaters. From Okanagan Crush Pad and Narrative, Christine Coletta. And from Bella Bubble on the Naramata Bench, the amazing Jay Drysdale. Enjoy. I am speaking with a dear friend, a general manager at Time Winery. Hello, Crystal Lee. Are you safe? Are you well?
We are, you know, just keeping it going here, so...
Before I forget, one of the first things I wrote down on my notes was, I'm looking at the kitchen, some of the photos from the kitchen, and I see a hamburger that surely is a stunt hamburger, was the one-off hamburger that said, sort of, oh, let's make it bigger, let's make it taller, let's make it fatter, let's make it more delicious. But I have a hunch that maybe that is your burger.
That is our burger, absolutely. That is how it arrives. Chef AK has just done a phenomenal job, and that's one of our signature items here at Winery.
That's crazy. Okay, fine. Well, that's a good starting point, because that would be my second reason to go to Penticton and visit. All right. How did 2020 feel now that you have it behind you, and how does 2021 look on the rollout?
Well, like so many people, happy to see 2020 over. For so many different reasons, obviously the international pandemic being a key one, but also even as our family, we obviously have gone through a lot of transition since my father passed 18 months ago. There was a lot of transition as we've had at the winery here. But the most exciting thing for us in 2020 was that we sold the winery, and we have amazing family that has purchased the winery that we're all so lucky to get to work with. So Ron and Shelley Merritt, and we have some big plans for the winery moving forward in 2021, and super excited of what's to come in the next couple of months in particular.
How did the Valley, the Okanagan Valley, the whole region get through 2020?
Yeah, well, like everybody, we had to change how we operated and how we, you know, welcomed guests. But I think that there were some good learnings from it for the most part. Luckily, we have a lot of open spaces, so we are able to social distance fairly easily here in the Okanagan. you know, wineries kind of pivoted and changed how they operated and how they offered tastings. So there was a lot more sit-down tastings. So as a consumer, I think that they saw that that was a great opportunity. It was a little more one-on-one and able to customize the experience of the wine. It wasn't so much as, you know, herd in as many people as you can to the tasting room and belly up to the bar. It was about the experience and maybe visiting a few less wineries, but having a better tasting and different options, some great food and wine pairings, some great, you know, cheese or chocolate or, so I think it was a lot more learning for people and the education and making it fun.
And you had to have your online presence up and running. You had to be absolutely locked on, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Online sales through the roof, you know, wine club sales, direct to consumer, and curbside pickup and how we do things, you know, who would have thought a year ago that, of course, now everybody's, you have to do virtual tastings and we'll be doing something like we are now. But I think moving forward, what we're going to see is that we'll take those learnings from 2020 and those aren't going to go away, but now we have those and that we can, you know, we want people to come to the winery, but if we can bring a winery to you in a different manner as well, and, you know, across the world, they may not have made it here to Penticton, but we can come into your living room and ship the wine, then, you know, I think there's going to be lots of opportunities and some exciting things moving forward.
What do you think Harry would think of all this?
Oh, he would have had so many ideas of how to work around, not around the regulation, well, around the provincial orders.
Yeah, that's right.
But he would have probably been the first to have figured something out. And, you know, there's lots of times I'm like, what would a dad have thought? So, yeah. The reds we've just released just now. The whites, I think you have we've had out for a few months now. We're just getting ready to start to bottle our 2020s, but.
The White Meritage. The
White Meritage, yeah.
I was so happy to see this come out of the box.
Yeah, was not a brand new release for us, but you know what? This is just a wine that for me is one of my personal favorites.
Mine too.
It's one that we've always made back even, you know, we were the first producers of Meritage in 1993 was a vintage when we had Sumac Ridge. And it's something that's always near and dear to my dad's heart and to us as a family. So it will be something that you'll continue to see from us moving forward.
It can cellar. And I think you even make a note on the label that the Semillon is going to help it cellar. We know that the way you treat your Sauvignon Blanc, it's a barrel aged, so to speak. Tell me about what's the oldest you've tasted of this release?
So it's 2018 you have there. I had a 2013, not too long ago, and I was pleasantly surprised at how well, you know, it was standing up.
Did it hold its fruit?
It did, yeah. Lots of richness and ripeness. I find this wine actually is a little bit better, kind of a year after release as well. So I think it's drinking beautifully right now. It's still really lively. It's got that fresh fruit, a little bit of gooseberry. And just with that hint of oak, it's, as I say, it's one of my favorite wines.
There's oak on the nose, there's citrus notes go in the mouth on the nose. An incredible texture. Give me a white wine that has texture, and I love it forever and a day. And this has, that's, you just, with the Semillon, it just lays it out.
Exactly. That's this one we say that, you know, if you don't like red wine and you're having a steak, it wouldn't be my first choice because I would pick a red wine. But this wine can stand up to it. It can stand up to a lot of, you know, intense flavors and things that you wouldn't necessarily think to pair a white wine with because it does have that texture.
This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. Krista Lee McWaters is on the line. She is the general manager of Time Winery and Kitchen. Can I ask you about the bubble before we get to the reds? You mentioned Sumac Ridge, which was always a house of bubble. Mm-hmm. And so I knew that you would follow through on that, but this was sensational. This have we liked it? Have we embraced your bubble?
Well, anybody that knows me or anyone in my family knows that we are huge bubble fans. There are very few days that go by that I do not consume sparkling wine. And I think I come by that naturally. My dad used to say, if it doesn't, you know, people would say, what goes with bubble? And he said, if it doesn't go to bubble, don't put it in your mouth.
Did you once say to me bubble for breakfast, or were you just fooling?
No, absolutely. It's a great way to start the day. So we've carried on in that tradition here. Absolutely. We currently have 4 different sparkling wines, and we'll be releasing a 5th later this year. So we have 3 sparkling under our Evolve Cellars label. We have the Thyme Brut that you've just tasted. And then we will be releasing our McWaters Collection sparkling later this year, which I'm really excited about. Nice. It's a 2017 vintage. And so my dad put the blend together as well. So.
I have the Fourth Dimension. I have the Syrah, the Cab, and the Cab Franc. If you were tasting them in order, would you start with the Syrah and work your way to the Fourth Dimension? What would you do?
I go back and forth daily, kind of between the Fourth Dimension and the Syrah is the first one. Some days I think the Fourth Dimension, some days I think the Syrah.
Yeah.
I think the Fourth Dimension currently is the 2017 vintage, whereas the Syrah is the 18, and I find it's just a little bit jammier, a little bit juicier, the Syrah is. So
okay. Let's start with the fourth. Did you need a blend?
We can never have too many blends. So Fourth Dimension, this is the first vintage of it for us, the 2017. So that as we were looking at the 17 vintage, we decided to not produce the Thyme Meritage anymore and instead make the Fourth Dimension. So we purposely wanted to disqualify it from being a Meritage. So it's actually a blend of Syrah, Merlot, Cabernet Sauvignon, and Cabernet Franc. So hence the 4 varietals. And Thyme is the Fourth Dimension. So that's why the name.
What's the percentage Merlot of the rest of them?
So the Merlot's about 30%.
Yep.
Syrah is actually 40%, 20% Cabernet Franc, and the remainder Cabernet Sauvignon.
But the Fourth Dimension, by the way, it brings with it what you would expect, a cherry, raspberry, an incredible cracked pepper. We're talking about Thyme Winery and Kitchen in Penticton, downtown Penticton, in the old theater with the general manager, Krista Lee McWaters. How about the Syrah, speaking of cracked pepper?
It's got lots of that pepper, you know, black pepper, that strawberry, that cherry. I love this wine.
This is an outstanding wine. The Cab.
You know, we need to be careful of what sites it grows in. And those are limited because it does need the heat.
Sure.
But I think that we do a phenomenal job with it here in the South Okanagan.
I'm going to talk about the 2018 Cab Franc. I'm a Cab Franc hound. Give me a full, rich, beautiful, luscious Cab Franc. And that's exactly what you've delivered.
Thank you. Yeah, Cab Franc is one of my favorites as well. And it's been one that we've produced for a number of years. What I like, I'm the same with you. I like this style that has a lot more of the fruit. It's got, you know, it's definitely got the pepper there, but it's not green. This very rich, ripe fruit. That 2018 Cabernet Franc we just released, just last week, actually. And it's got all of those things that I love. It's still a bit tight yet. It's going to open up. But it's got that, you know, the fruit and that pepper, but not green pepper.
Yeah.
It's really rich and ripe and going to be pretty darn tasty.
Now, of all of these, 4 reds, which would you pour with that stupidly big hunk hamburger?
It's the Syrah. Okay. I think it's the best pairing.
That's the end of that discussion. That works beautifully. And in terms of releases, now that you've got these reds on the table, what's next?
We're going through all new rebranding, relabeling, renaming. So we've got some exciting things coming up in the next couple of months. We've got a couple of new varietals as well. Stay tuned. We have a lot on the go right now.
And you personally, remind me and the audience of the projects and boards that you're involved in currently?
I am honored to sit on the board for the British Columbia Wine Institute.
Right.
And I'm also on the board for Les Dames de Scoffier.
Bunch of troublemakers, those women.
Yeah, I know. Crazy group of women we are.
Valentine's Day, what are you doing?
We've got a three-course menu that we're doing here at the winery.
Okay.
So encouraging people to come, and we're pairing that.
Romance,
exactly. But we're also doing, we do meal kits as well and take out items. So we've got a custom-made charcuterie board and a chocolate fondue. So that you can, if you would prefer to stay at home, that we've got that covered too.
Crystal Lee, can we run down some of the price points on your wines? We started with the 2018 Meritage White. What's the price point?
That's $29.99.
And the 2018 Brut?
$35.
Now, as for the reds, the Fourth Dimension, the blend?
$35.
The Syrah?
$35.
The Cab?
The Cabernet Sauvignon is $39.99.
And the Cabernet Franc?
Is $35.
Thank you. All right, last question. You ready?
I am.
Harry's legacy. We talked about it in his passing. We talked about it all the time. But now we're settling into this acceptance. What is that legacy?
I think it's, really the wine industry. I think he'd be so proud to see how everybody, pivoted and adjusted and came together as an industry more than ever this year through such crazy times. I know he's proud of what everybody's doing, so, yeah.
Okay. Have yourself a safe year.
Thank you. You too.
Don't forget to wash your wash your hands. What's your website for people who want to contact you about these wines?
It's timewinery.com.
Just know that Time Winery and Kitchen is open. Go and check out the damn burger. Thank you. Have yourself a safe and wonderful year.
Thanks, Terry. So great to talk with you.
Crystal Lee McWaters, Time Winery and Kitchen, downtown Penticton. Next, the godmother of the Okanagan Valley Wineries, Christine Coletta at Okanagan Crush Pad. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Moon Cursor. The Moon Cursor name pays tribute to the gold smuggling history of Osoyoos. The winery's focus has always been making premium wines from old world grape varieties like Tanat, Dolcetto, and Torrija Nacional. After all of that hard work and dedication, Moon Cursor was recognized as the number one best performing small winery at the 2019 Wine Align National Wine Awards of Canada. Not only do they have a great wine club, but also think about giving a wine club membership as a great gift. You can find all of the details at mooncursor.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch, who would like to announce that Black Swift Vineyards has opened The Nest. Their tasting room is open on a first-come, first-served basis, no booking required, currently accepting groups of up to 6 people in accordance with good response guidelines. They have a wonderful patio and a picnic area you can often find on site, Grumpy Chef, Little Tokyo Ramen, and their very own smoke show, Smoked Meats Barbecue Food Truck on the site. BlackSwiftVineyards.com and TheHatchWines.com. She is Christine Coletta, and she is the co-founder of Okanagan Crush Pad, Haywire, Narrative, all of the wineries and all of the labels involved in Okanagan Crush Pad in Summerland. We welcome you back to Tasting Room Radio. How are you?
I am very well in beautiful Summerland. Thank you.
I know that John Skinner at Painted Rock has made some nice inroads in that London market in particular. Have people taken to your wines there, and are you making inroads?
We are. We've been selling wine in that market for over 5 years, and we have a distributor. I had a lovely story the other day. I got an order online, and it came from the UK. And I thought, oh dear, I hope they don't expect me to ship this case of wine to London. And it was actually going to Ontario, which, is also a little bit of a rocky road. But there was a note they wanted me to include in it, and it said, I had this wonderful wine from Haywire in a Michelin-starred restaurant in London, mm-hmm. and I thought you would enjoy it because it's from Canada and it's close to you. So I was really thrilled with that because it sort of comes full circle. When you've been working in an export market and it comes back to creating a sale for you back at your own winery.
Well, Christine Coletta, let's talk about the future champs at the narrative portfolio. There's a Viognier Syrah. There's a Viognier. There's a Syrah Viognier. There's a Syrah and others in the future. Can we start with the, what essentially is a rosé, Viognier Syrah. Although it doesn't say on the front label rosé, it does on the back, I believe, refers to it. How did this come about?
Well, it came about, actually I was in Oregon and was at a wonderful winery in Oregon snooping around, and I came across a Viognier Syrah blend. And typically it's the reverse, where Syrah is the dominant variety in the blend, with Viognier just, you know, you tip your hat to Viognier with maybe 5 or 10%, and the bulk of it being Syrah. And in this case, the winery had reversed it, and it was a delightful wine. It was a really hot day, and we sat out on a patio, enjoyed a chilled glass. And I thought, I think Matt Dumain could do this. And I think he's probably going to do it in a really bizarre, crazy way with a concrete tank. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. So I brought some bottles back with me from that trip, and one thing led to another. I like the idea of taking Viognier, having the base white wine Viognier, having a Syrah Viognier, and then also having the reverse of that. I think it's really informative for people to try wines that are sort of springboarding off of one another.
Yeah, it's like it's like a bait and switch. It's really
And you can sort of see how they each what role they each play.
Can I ask you about the surprising Viognier and how it was? What was the process with Matt?
Just a straight Viognier.
Straight Viognier, because I'm crazy about it.
Yeah. Oh, good. I'm glad you love it. I think a lot of time people find Viogniers to be sort of flabby and oily and too heavy, and I think Matt did a super job on this. It's got a lot of intense texture, which he really works hard to sort of develop in his wines. And in this particular case, of course, concrete tanks, right?
Sure.
So slow fermentation also. He doesn't believe, and that's the beauty of the concrete tanks, is that you do tend to get a slow fermentation with them. And you can control the heat in the concrete. And so, like concrete floors, people who have radiant heat floors, as you well know, they heat up very slowly, cool down slowly. So I think this worked out fabulously on this Viognier, and I think that's the difference. It's also, it's just got nice structure and nice texture without that oiliness that and heaviness that Viognier sometimes has.
Exactly. And I don't mean to throw you under the bus, but do you know the price point?
$22.90.
Well done. How many cases?
Again, around 400.
And the reason why I ask about cases, I'm talking to the audience, is simply because you have to know how hard you're going to have to chase. If it's 70 cases, you know you better start get your running shoes on. But 400, yeah, you're going to find this this wonderful Viognier. Now, the 2018 yeah, Syrah Viognier. What's not defined and is driving me crazy is I'd love to know the percentage of Syrah and Viognier.
Well, I believe what he did was he co-fermented Syrah and Viognier in an amphora. So that would have been 800, the amphora is 800 liters. So he probably has in this whole blend about, I would believe he's probably got about 400 liters of Viognier.
Okay.
Because, so I mean, it would be small. I suspect that it probably makes up about 3 or 4% of the total blend.
Well, it's certainly there on the nose. So the clay amphora, I understand that. The skins for 9 months, and then the reverse of that. So then, the Syrah, it's got the amphora and the concrete, and then it gets blended at the end.
Yes. Yeah.
Spice, texture, mouthfeel. Fabulous. What an interesting wine.
It really is. And I just love the idea of adding a little Viognier into the Syrah to spice things up and sort of make ours stand out from what other people are doing. Often the concrete tanks will do that on their own, because not very many people are using them to the degree that we are, and certainly not on red wines exclusively without having those wines go into barrel at some point. So it just the net result of this is just, again, that sort of texture that he loves to showcase and the mid palate. And that's one thing that we've really been working for, is more structure in the mid palate all the way through our wine.
She is Christine Coletta, co-founder of Okanagan Crush Pad. And in this case, we're talking about her label called Narrative, which is David's, if I remember correctly, was his idea. Wine tells a story. Yeah. Viognier, so the Viognier Syrah, 2019, the Viognier, I just threw that in there, the 2018 Syrah Viognier, are fantastic, but here comes this amazing, and it proves once again, it's a 2016 Syrah Organic, 2 years in the bottle, just, or however long it was in that bottle. It just pays off so handsomely when you open it up. The nose is incredible. The concrete is there. It pays for itself many, many times. It's got a wonderful soft mouthfeel to it. It doesn't bang you over the head. And there's a lift in the mouth, an incredible, beautiful, spiritual lift in the mouth. I can't recommend it high enough.
And you know, the interesting, I think across the board, we tend to drink BC wines too young.
Yep.
And there's always this rush for new, fresh wines. If I hear the word fresh again, I might blow up. Because this is an example of a wine that in 2016, it's just really come into its own. And it is that one sells for $27.90. And I just love it. And I think it's great when you can find wines with a little bottle age on it. We've taken the trouble of aging it in our cellar before, and you don't have to do that.
Well done.
At your cellar. So, yeah, I love this wine. I think it's fabulous, and I think it's a really nice contradiction, if you would, to the Syrah Viognier 18.
Now, the totally. It's the truth is what it is. Mm-hmm. On your website, you have a list of winter reds. I love, and that caught my attention right away, and this Syrah, this organic Syrah, is one of your winter reds. Your husband, Steve, you remember Steve?
Yes.
He's working on a new concept with concrete. What's he doing? Oh, I know. It's a great idea. It's a great idea. Why not make the concrete from the actual soil that the vineyards are growing in?
Exactly. So Steve has been wanting to make concrete tanks. He loves concrete. I mean, his idea of a great date night is to take me to Concrete World, which is in Florida, in some hideous place.
That's great.
And it's a convention of everything to do with concrete. So he knows how to show a girl a good time, that's Steve. So anyway, we finally relented and let him put some concrete tanks together. They're 300 liters, so they're smaller. But what he did was he took sand and gravel from each of our three vineyards and made three tanks from each of those soil samples. So we have three Seacrest Mountain Vineyard tanks, three Garnet Valley Ranch tanks, and three Switchback tanks. And we put different lots of wine in it, and they are fermenting away nicely. Matt Dumain snoops around and checks in on them daily, and they are going through malolactic fermentation right now. And the idea is that at the end of the summer, or the end of spring, hopefully, whenever they're finished doing their thing, we will put them in little sample bottles, and we are convening a sensory evaluation team made up of some wine journalists, if you happen to know anyone, TDM, that might be interested in...
Thank you.
Sitting on this, and some trade, some sommeliers, and also some of our club members. And we're going to sit down and taste them and see if we can identify any of the impacts on the wine.
I certainly throw my name in the back. And I remember getting your original first ever releases in the test tubes on an Aromata bench. It was such a shock to open the package and see the wines in test tubes. I love that. Thank you, Professor.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, I'm putting you on the list. Hang on. Just got to make myself a note. TDM Sensory Evaluation Team. Done.
Thank you. Okay. Last question. I think it's an overview, and I would ask you that because, of course, you're the godmother of the Okanagan wine industry.
Thank you. Can't have Sandra Oldfield being the godmother.
No, we can't have Sandra.
She's too young.
No. How damaged was the wine industry by 2020 and the pandemic? And can it recover? And have we lost wineries in the process?
The wine industry did incredibly well. What I just have received the sales data, which I get regularly, and everyone did an amazing job of pivoting from licensee on-premise accounts to direct-to-consumer and also to private retailers. And the private retailers have really stepped up and supported BC Wines, which we collectively thank them from the bottom of our hearts. And we know that our dear friends in the restaurant industry will be back, and they'll be back in force. And everyone's just waiting for that day. A lot of customers turned to support BC Wine in the short term. I hope that trend continues. We saw people ordering direct from wineries. And collectively, the industry is up about 6% from the data I've received. So
amazing.
We weathered it quite well. Will there be wineries that fall off? Yes, there will be. There always is. And even in good times, there are. Because it's a tough business. And the toughest piece of it is grape supply. If you don't have your own land and you don't have a committed, reliable source of grapes, it's the biggest challenge that most wineries face. And this year, as you may know, and others have probably talked about, the crop was down 30%.
Yep.
So there's going to be people in a really bad position, and that is the number one thing that's challenging for them, I believe, this year, is
okay.
Supply. Yep.
Thank you for your wines and your friendship. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you, and I look forward to seeing you in person soon. And I look forward to you getting off of the rock, coming to the big city.
I will get off the rock as fast as I humanly can. I guarantee you. I can't wait to get off the rock.
And you need to come and visit your friends in the Okanagan.
I will, and I'll bring double masks.
Excellent.
Christine Coletta, who washed her hands for this interview, the co-founder of Okanagan Crush Pad, and the label we're talking about today, Narrative. And when we come back, we're going to talk Gamay. With Jay Drysdale at Bella. This is Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch, who would like to announce that Black Swift Vineyards has opened The Nest. Their tasting room is open on a first-come, first-served basis, no booking required, currently accepting groups of up to 6 people in accordance with good response guidelines. They have a wonderful patio and a picnic area. You can often find on site Grumpy Chef, Little Tokyo Ramen, and their very own smoke show, smoked meats barbecue food truck on the site. BlackSwiftVineyards.com and TheHatchWines.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Enrico Winery, the picturesque 50-acre estate winery in the beautiful Cowichan Valley with a microclimate that allows them to grow 7 different varietals, ranging from fruity whites to full-bodied reds. Enrico Winery, just 45 minutes north of Victoria in the Cowichan Valley. And to really get connected, sign up for their newsletter. Just head for their website, EnricoWinery.com. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. He is Jay Drysdale. I promised he'd be here, and he's here. He's at his, well, he could be on a picnic bench or something, but he's underneath a tree at Bella Wines, the co-founder, winemaker, and part-time farmer. Well, full-time farmer on the Naramata bench. Did I get that right so far?
That's looking pretty good.
I wondered how long that beard would be. So, is there a ponytail back there?
No, but I've got a pretty good mullet starting. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's getting there.
Wow.
I know. I kind of scare children now without a hat. So it's time for a haircut. But
what have the first 6 months of this year been like for you in terms of just socially?
Pretty quiet. We bubbled with friends up the road, and then that's pretty much it. We actually did our very first dinner out just this last weekend. And so, yeah, we're slowly getting off the farm, but not too fast anyway. So.
Can I take just a wild guess as to where you went for dinner? Did you end up at Ned Bell's place?
We actually did.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really, really nice. Yeah, we're excited. So.
I love the fact that he's come full circle. The interesting thing is that he and Kate met on our front porch.
No way.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, I look forward to sharing that. Yeah,
is he pouring Bella?
They are. And they've even got one of our prosciutto legs on the menu there, too, from one of our pigs. And we're even doing a pretty cool compost program where I'm taking all their kitchen scraps of
veg to the pigs,
fruit, and they're going to the pigs and chickens. And yeah, everyone's super happy right now. So yeah.
I'm dying to know, have you seen a documentary called The Biggest Little Farm?
Very good.
How was your heart when you were finished?
It was good. I love it. I want to watch it again. But the whole time I was like, oh, I wish I had that much money. Oh, I wish I had that much money. So yeah, I mean, us bootstrapping it here and yeah, them contouring lands and having that design.
But you did go down kind of the same road. You really did.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Like, yeah, we're just committed to figuring out farming without chemicals. So, and just trying to use plants, beneficial chemicals themselves to help the other plants. So,
I meant to ask you, of course, and because you mentioned you're in some of the locations are not organic, but you farm in organic methods. Your heart is in it and you're okay with that.
Yes and no. I mean, in an ideal world, if I could get natural fruit, that's what I would only take. The reality of BC's landscape is, you know, prior to the Mission Hills and Cedar Creeks and the big guys starting to convert to organics, we're probably looking at less than 5% for BC.
I know.
And, you know, so it's pretty slim pickings when now everybody wants organic fruit. And you know, I'm seeing organic fruit prices push $4,500 a ton now. And it's just getting redonkulous on price points. So, yeah, it's... So, I mean, the other thing we do is we're super transparent. So we do put, you know, how it's farmed on a lot of our literature. So, you know, it's easy for you as a consumer to figure out whether the fruit we're sourcing or working with is organic, sustainable, conventional, what have you. And then, and then even for me, it's just, if I trust the way you farm, I don't worry about accreditation, but these are my rules, right?
Sure.
Not anyone else's. So I'm not a big fan of accreditation. I think our systems are a little misaligned more than anything. And I just doesn't feel right that those that are doing well to farm and better methods pay more than those that don't. And it's kind of my digging the heels in as far as you know, there should be incentives for farmers to want to farm this way instead of penalties, which is how I look at organics. It penalizes you for doing good, and that just seems wrong. So, yeah.
Is it fair to say that you and Wendy Rose have never really fit in the box? You were almost looking for different ways, right?
I think it's on a global scale, we're a percentage of those that are trying to farm in a certain manner locally. Yeah, I think we definitely stick out a bit, but I think you're going to see, you know, a pretty good handful of wineries really starting to transition and push down this avenue now. And that's exciting. I mean, I think you're just going to see rapid changes as more and more wineries come online, realizing consumers are conscious of what they're putting in their bodies. I think we're at the beginning of a shift, which I am very optimistic about. So, yeah.
Jay Drysdale, Bella Wines, still the only sparkling wine house in BC?
No, you got one in your backyard. Some really neat people opened Infinity Wines in Saanich, I think, right when you get off the ferry terminal.
That tiny little, yes.
Yes, yes. And they're doing bubbles only. So, yeah, I've had one or two of theirs so far and looking really good. And yeah, I love seeing the focus. And yeah, so we've got a couple now, which is exciting.
First place we ever met was Toasted Oak, that wonderful restaurant in Oliver, at the Banet Gathering, which is just the most outstanding party.
Yep.
And And you surrounded yourself with farmers and sommeliers and winemakers and wine people, because you were kind of soaking it up. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you couldn't learn enough fast enough about the business.
And I mean, to be in the heart of it and surround yourself with so many teachers. And yeah, I mean, I couldn't have asked for a better platform to sort of launch from. And yeah, I mean, it's still huge respect for everybody who's doing what they're doing. This is not an easy industry or an easy job, but it definitely helped my start. That's for sure.
You were living in Kitsilano in an apartment just off the market. Had you started this project and were just living there?
We were trying to figure out what we were going to do, and we were originally going to be virtual only. And after taking hard looks at numbers, we realized we needed our own piece of land, and we still keep the apartment. In fact, the apartment is what's allowed all of Bella to produce, because we took out a line of credit on the apartment, and that's kind of what got us off the ground. And it took us almost about eight years before we could actually come back to using the apartment ourselves. But it was essential. Yeah.
Okay. You can admit it now to the audience that in fact you thought about crushing in the apartment.
Oh, hell yeah. In fact, we had one wall, and this is like a 575 square foot apartment. So it's pretty small to begin with, but we had one wall that we had no storage. So an entire wall from almost floor to ceiling was just wine our first year, storing it there while I was doing sales and deliveries and everything else. So yeah, we definitely, we bootstrapped, and it was fun.
I promise this is a two-part interview, and I promise in part two, we are going to do a speed tasting through the most amazing bubble. And I'll try to, I've got all my roadmap in front of me, but I want you to know about Jay Drysdale and Wendy Rose and Bella Wines. Let me see. You said once, when you first came to the Okanagan in 2004, you called the Okanagan the Wild West era, like Dodge City. You got a chance to enjoy the freedom to experiment, fail, pick yourself up and start again. So 16 years later, where are we now?
I think we're still in the Wild West a bit. In fact, I kind of almost wish it was a bit more wild, in the sense that there was more experimentation and more testing. And I think we've taken great inspiration from neighbors and regions, but I think we're now entering maybe that phase where we really start to dial it in and really start to own our own voice when it comes to our industry and how we're different. I think now we almost want a difference, and we want to understand why and how we're so different, so that we can speak on that world stage proudly about our uniqueness, because I think that's what makes every wine region around the world so unique, is you're looking for something unique from each region. And that's where I think we have to stop wanting to be Napa or Alsace or Burgundy or wherever our aspirations lie, and just try and hone in on, you know, what makes us so unique. And that, I think, comes from testing grapes, testing soils, testing different everything to really put it through the gears to make sure it is going to be the best for us to make the best possible wine with at the end of the day. So,
and the last time you and I talked, I remember you said, and it stuck with me. It really did hang in my heart. You said, we need more Gamay, because you had committed yourself to Gamay, and you'd found what you thought might be tapped out. I know you found some other sources, but just tell them that your love affair with Gamay, what is it about that grape?
For me, it wears its personality on its sleeve. So maybe, and
blue,
I'm hoping
blue collar, a blue collar it. Grape.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Not the fussy high maintenance of Pinot. Like this is a workhorse. It loves to produce volume. It's hardy. It can take a whooping and come back. And I think, as you saw maybe in the lineup, like Gamay has so many personalities that, depending on soil and climate and clone and everything else, that, you know, unlike Chard, which we work with, is, I find, more reserved and wants to take its time to come out of its shell and show its, you know, real personality, like where Gamay is just right out of the gate. It's just waxy in the face with it.
You know what it is? It's Tom Hanks.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. That's a very good one. I like
that. Have we tapped out on Gamay? Are you still finding sources?
It's getting scarce. I mean, you know, in the realm of things, it's like 700 acres ish out of 11,000. So, you know, there's not a ton to draw on, and it has become popular. So a lot more wineries are doing single varietal expressions of Gamay now. I'm hoping and waiting for the next big red fad grape and hoping a lot of wineries will chase that instead of Gamay and I can have my Gamay back. But
do we really need more Merlot?
No, not in my eyes.
I mean, that's no knock on Merlot. I mean, but just everybody's bottling it. I'm thinking.
Oh yeah, no, Merlot's our muscle. I mean, it's a beautiful grape, yeah. But I just, for me, I think Syrah and Franc and that sing on such a different key here that it stands out uniquely. And I think they're more, you know, suited to, you know, what would stand out for BC than Merlot. And, you know, Merlot is great, but everyone already has a stigma that Merlot is kind of soft and easy to drink. And that's not here in BC. It's muscular and tough and it can go the distance and it's a beautiful, big, big red for us. So, yeah.
Are you ready for a two-parter?
You bet.
And when we come back, it is the speed round. Okay.
All right.
He's Jay Drysdale. He's in Naramata Village on the bench with Wendy Rose, Bella Wines. Here's the deal. I'm going to tell you now, and I'm going to tell you at the end of the show. You can tour up and down that bench all you want, but if you're really, really, really smart, you will stop at Bella and see what winemaking is all about. Real winemaking, real people pouring real juice, all right? You can find them. Look them up. Look at the reviews. That's all I need to do. All right, we'll be right back with the rundown, starting with the West Bank, Cava. We're going to be talking about Piguet, Marge, Aromatics, the King Vineyard, Blanc de Blanc, and other good things. He's Jay Drysdale. This is Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Enrico Winery, the picturesque 50-acre estate winery in the beautiful Cowichan Valley with a microclimate that allows them to grow 7 different varietals, ranging from fruity whites to full-bodied reds. Enrico Winery, just 45 minutes north of Victoria in the Cowichan Valley. And to really get connected, sign up for their newsletter. Just head for their website, EnricoWinery.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery. Naramata grown and raised. Unique, small lot, and terroir-driven are terms best used to describe their wines. Just a word from our friends at Hillside Winery on the Naramata bench. Their tasting room is closed for the season. Seated sensory tastings will begin again in March 2021. HillsideWinery.ca. And welcome back. This is Tasting Room Radio. My pleasure to have a two-part interview with Jay Drysdale at Bella Wines on the Naramata bench. He and Wendy Rose have created something very, very, very special. You can find it in the wines, but really, if you really want to see what they're all about, go and check out their incredible home on the Naramata bench. Jay, do you believe that you can tell the character of the winemaker by just tasting the wines in the bottle?
That is a good one. I think I instantly kind of revert to, you can sort of see the soul of the winemaker in it, because I think, you know, you're either making a product that is meant to please a consumer or you're making a product that is meant to represent a sense of place. And a lot of winemakers are governed obviously by powers above, but I think those that are kind of let loose with a vision and a passion are really about trying to identify a sense of place here in BC and really trying to amplify why we think this region is so beautiful, unique, and expressive. Yeah, I think that's my answer.
Nice. All right, now, you were kind enough. It's like if you're going to interview a author, you want to read the book. If you're going to interview a director, you got to see the film. You have to see the documentary. You have to do that. It's just your responsibility. I had to taste your releases. It's not stuff that you can speed taste. It's as simple as that. And I've proved it over the last 3 days. Wicked. However, the Vineyard series, you wanted to showcase where these wines were coming from as much as the wines themselves, right?
Yeah. And for me, the Vineyard series was like my sorting table or pre-qualifying in that it allowed me to test out vineyards. I make them all the exact same way. And I keep every vineyard separate. The only wine in that whole vineyard series that doesn't follow that rule is Buddha's Blend.
Yeah.
And it's the only one that is meant to be, it's the only one I craft to be just fun and user friendly. So B2 is like, whenever we rack a tank,
which
means taking it off the lees or sediment, I take all that sediment, I don't throw it out, I save it. And that's what goes into one big tank that's Buddha's Blend. And so I, but I only take it from all the wines I really like. And if I think it'll make this blend better, then I'll add it. And over the years, it's just grown in to be this fun, user-friendly sort of style of rosé. And this particular year is about 60% Chard and 40% Gamay. And every year, the recipe changes depending on what goes in it. But
is that as close as you get to a field blend?
No, that's the aromatics.
Yeah.
That one, for me, I define a field blend as when I pick all the grapes from that one vineyard, and they could be all different types, all on the same day, and then, you know, make them as if they were all one wine. And that's what I do with aromatics, because I get that from a really neat local here in town in the village, who, like, half his vineyard is Chard, which goes into Buddha's Blend. And then the other half, he's got about 40 different varietals that I love. And we're looking at aromatics like Sigurd Abe and Aaron Feltzer and Kerner and Gewurz and all these guys. And there's about 9-10 different aromatics in it. And it's just a fun wine. So.
Do you put field blend on the label?
No, I think I just call it aromatics.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Bella Sparkling Rosé, the 2019 Gamay Noir, sourced from Cavada Vineyard in Naramata Village, 335 cases, 10.8. This is relatively right around the corner from you, is it not?
It is. Like I'm sitting out under our cherry tree here, and as I look up to the north, I can stare at it, and or I should say the east, but it's literally right above Nickel Winery.
Ah, okay.
And it's got one of the best views over the village, and it's just a magical piece, but. Yeah, I got this vineyard site actually through Kathy at Hillside, and she was super generous the years back and had a bit too much Gamay, and I've since adopted this vineyard, and yeah, it's just been, I love this site because it's got granite now, so I find this one is always sort of very feminine and just, it's just a very, I've always loved this fruit, so yeah.
Here the problem, well, the problem that I had, and I'm sure that other people will, you can't make up your mind which ones you like the best, so you have to do the whole thing, right? I'm trying to save you some cut-and-chase time. The problem is the Cavada, there's a cult following, so you got to find it, first of all. It's in the Naramata Village, which is really special. Slightly darker, a little more texture, very popular, very different from West Bank. And that's what you want.
It is. I want each of these to have its personality. And then the way we click with certain people, I want people to click with certain wines. And I'll never be offended if you don't like any of my wines, but I want it to really resonate with you.
Sure.
And it should be the easiest yes. And if it's not, I mean, move on. I estimate there's probably over 400 wines just on the bench alone, never mind BC. So it's like, yeah, it should really just be the easiest yes. I want more of that. And
By the way, I know the Cavada is very popular. Is it the 10.8 that makes it so, or does that help?
I think it's always just been a very elegant sparkling rosé, and I think that's a bit of its appeal.
What's the price point on the Cavada?
That's 29.2.
Okay. The Bella 2019 Gamay Noir sparkling wine, sourced from Deep Roots Vineyard, Naramata Village, 66 cases, 11% alcohol. Is that a one-off?
It is, yeah.
Oh, geez. Jay Drysdale, by the way, at Bella, Naramata Bench. While I look for the Mariani 509, tell me the story behind it, because it's fascinating.
This site, which is right above Marichal Winery here on the bench, the Mariani's planted two clones of Gamay back in 2013. This is the 509, and they also do a 787. And this year for me is probably the purest year that I've made these guys. And that's always been my goal too with fruit expression, is I'm trying to figure out how to extract the purest expression of that fruit and juice.
By the way, I meant to say, Jay, that I love the darkness of the deep root 65 cases. Yeah. Much bigger mouth, great food wine, beautiful long finish, delish. And the Mariani, I finally came to the realization that it is a singular wine, and it's up to you to get to it, try it, and make up your own mind. Because I love the West Bank. I was crazy about the Cavada. Love the Deep Roots. Love the Mariani. And then I'm thinking, well, what am I doing here? How am I helping the audience by just saying, well, that's better than the last one? It's not. They're not. None of that. They're all very distinctive, and I love that about it. Which brings us to the last two: Carameas Gamay 2019, which you asked me to taste, and then finished off with the Carameas Gamay 2018. I love the Carameas. Did you make a lot of it?
More than the Mariani, but this fruit comes from Robbins Ridge Winery. Tim and Caroline are amazing, great people, and I've always enjoyed working with them over the years. He's just been so generous with his fruit and that over time. And for me, this is the reason I wanted to give you both years was 18, which was the smoke tainted one, lighter in color, Dunn Vineyard series. Yeah. So it kind of looked like Cavada or West Bank in color.
Sure.
That one is the style I used to make that Gamay in. Exactly.
That's right. Yeah.
And this was the first year I did a sparkling red with it. And it was the first year I did ancestral method with it. And this is an example of me dialing it in. And even though I like that style that you're holding, it was, for me, it was good, but it wasn't great. Whereas the sparkling red I found its voice, and that's what I'm excited about, because it acts like a sparkling red.
Which is the closest to Lambrusco for you of all of these wines?
Yeah, definitely that.
Okay.
The 2019 Carameas, the sparkling red. It's just, yeah, like good Lambrusco. You kind of forget that you're drinking red. It's just so fun and friendly and food friendly. And it's the perfect summer wine too, because it still acts like a red wine while being refreshing. And yeah, it's just fun.
Yeah. All right. Speed round.
Okay.
Piguet.
Yeah.
What do we want to know about Piguet?
That kind of fell into my lap. I was watching some wineries play with it. But basically, it's taking your pumice and your skins, putting them back into a bin, adding water, and letting them ferment on those skins to draw and extract any residual sugar out of the grape skins and the pumice.
And you get what you get.
Yeah, a bit of a trial. But what I loved about it was making something very cool out of entirely waste products. And this was us taking our natural waste and being able to turn it into a byproduct that kind of caught me off guard as to how popular it was going to be, just because I never anticipated the demand for low alcohol wine. And we made about 60 cases this year, and it was a Gamay Muscatty blend. And I'll definitely make more next year.
And did it sell?
It was gone in less than a month. And I couldn't be happier for it. And I start to dial that in. But to know I'm now taking a waste product and actually turning it around is huge.
And finally, I hate to rush you, but tell me about what should the audience know about the King Vineyard and your dealings with them and the Chard that's coming off that.
Yeah, that's... as you know, Rod and Marjorie have been in this industry for longer than us.
It's an amazing wine vineyard. Amazing.
It is. It's the most unique trellising design you'll see. And these guys crop it.
Very handsome.
Yeah. Beautiful tonnage, pushing sometimes 7-8 tons an acre. And yet this is some of the most purest Chardonnay I get. It's just exciting. Like, I've got a couple other sites I get Chard from, but nothing as sort of citrus apple pure as the King Estate. And I love the fruit. And that, again, is through the generosity of Peller and Red Rooster. And they leased the entire King Vineyards. And I begged and cried and pleaded long enough that they gave me some fruit. And I've just been grateful ever since. So.
And West Side, you have friends at Mont Boucherie?
We got a little bit of fruit. In fact, I've got another Chard coming out maybe in another month or so.
Okay.
That was through some extra fruit of Mount Boucherie. But the West Side or actually we have some Eastside Reserves we're releasing this year that are all Barche Brothers vineyard site that go back to 2013 that I'm releasing that probably spent about six and a half years with them.
This is why I said at the beginning, it's not enough to just listen to this conversation and enjoy it. I hope you do, and listen to what Jay has to say. You want to go to the website and you want to spend half an hour to an hour just messing around with the website. What's this? What's that? What's this? What's that? It's a great website. They leave no stone unturned. They tell you exactly what you're reading about and what you can expect to taste. We tried the West Bank, the Cavada, the Deep Roots, the Mariani, the Carameas Gamay 2019, the Carameas Gamay 2018. This is it right here. This is the closest I can give you to the actual colors. And unfortunately, I get the best view of this because the light is coming in the window and it is a gorgeous, they're all various shades. I'm going to give, I took them and put them in a sort of a row, took a shot of it. We're putting it on the website so you can see because, and this is my last question. I go into stores, sometimes it depresses me horribly to see what people buy on a Friday afternoon. But if you stand by the cash register, you can watch it all come through. Just sit there for 10, 15 minutes. The deal is, I listen to people discuss the rosés and the colors, and they buy on color. A lot of people buy strictly on color. Doesn't matter who made it, that's the color I want. What's going on with that? Are those choices changing, do you think? Are people changing?
A little bit. I mean, I think we're trying to help that choice. I think we're one of the very few wineries that puts all our ingredients on the label too. And I think we're just, people are always going to buy with their eyes.
Yeah.
Where I hope is not to bait and switch, but a lot of times they're expecting these colors to be sweet. And once you understand Bella, very, very few wines of ours leave residual sugar. Yeah. And that's why we've stuck with clear bottles too. I mean, but like you said, people buy with their eyes. So, yeah.
Well, in some cases, I'm trying to tell them, you want to, this is the name you want to know, Bella. Simple as that. What's the website?
BellaWines.ca.
That's all you need. Wendy Rose, Jay Drysdale. And it's not just enough to try these wines with friends. You want to go there. If you're going to go to the Naramata Bench, on your way to Ned Bell's, the new restaurant, or coming or going, you want to stop in and make a reservation at Bella Wines. Thank you, Jay.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery. Naramata grown and raised. Unique, small lot, and terroir driven are terms best used to describe their wines. Just a word from our friends at Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. Their tasting room is closed for the season. Seated sensory tastings will begin again in March 2021. HillsideWinery.ca.